How many have been encouraged by it?
Yes.
We're going to continue on that, on the faith topic this morning. So pray you guys are encouraged. Let's just pray, because you never know what will happen when you give the youth pastor a mic. So we're just going to pray. God, we thank you for what we've already sang this morning, that you are good. We thank you that in the midst of trials, they're not caused by you, and you are good in them, in the midst of them. Even trials that we cause ourselves. God, in the midst of all these earthquakes and hurricanes, God, you are good. Someone showed me an article this morning. There was a church shooting in Tennessee. God, we lift up that church and that community. God, I thank you that it wasn't caused by you, but your presence will be there. In Jesus' name, I thank you that you are good. And we thank you for what you're going to do this morning. Thank you that it is your words. And as we open your word, we all will be changed. And I thank you for that, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So, I know, like, Pastor Lee isn't here. I learned under Pastor Lee, because he was, if you don't know, he was my youth pastor when I walked into a youth church at 17 years old and a messed up kid, depressed, suicidal, all that, and walked into a hip-hop youth church run by a cowboy. The most bizarre thing you have ever seen. But God did amazing things, and still is doing amazing things in that ministry. But I'm thankful for our pastors.
Yeah.
I think we have some of the best pastors in the world. And God, we lift them up to you right now as a church family. God, we thank you that where they are, they're experiencing rest. They're just thank you for a good time of refreshing. And thank you that you bring them back to us safe. In Jesus' name, everybody said?
Amen.
Amen. So I know that he's been on the series of faith for a while. It's been good, though. I know I'm not in here every single week because of I'm go out and I get to party with Verge, but the times that I am in here, it has been amazing, and I know specifically lately it's been faith works by love, you know. So I kind of want to continue on that. Faith works by love. So we're going to open to that verse here in a few minutes, but I do want to encourage you guys, and I pray that you are encouraged this morning. It's not about getting more faith. It's about realizing what you already have.
Amen.
And I pray that you get that. Yeah. You know, over the years, as I come more under the revelation, I'm not trying to get from God. I already have.
Yes.
It's totally changed everything, you know. And for instance, I'm not trying to get more anointed. I am anointed.
Right.
You're anointed. You're not trying to get more anointed. You are anointed to do what God has called you to do. And a lot of times we fall under the trap that we think, oh, if I could just see God do this in my life, then I'd have more faith. Well, the Bible bears out that that's not entirely true. We could take the people that were fed, 5,000 men. They didn't even count the women and children, but 5,000, it was over 5,000, were fed with very little. And you can read in John's account how those same people came to Jesus and were like, show us how to do the works that you do.
Yes.
And Jesus' response to them was, believe on me who was sent. Very, very simple. And they respond with, well, give us a sign that we may believe you. It's like, he just fed 5,000 people and you ate that. Like, you were in there sitting down seeing all this come out and you saw this miracle, yet you're still asking for a sign. So let's not fall into that trap. Well, I could just see God do this, then I'd have more faith. Scripture says you've been given the measure of faith. We don't need more faith. We just need to learn how to use what God gave us. So let's go to Galatians 5, 6. We're going to start off with this scripture. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Everyone say faith. Working through love. So one thing I like to do when I'm studying, I love to go back to the original language. I just love doing it. And most of us know, okay, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. I love to go back and look up the original meaning, you know. Because let's be honest, when we talk about that word love in English, that's a little, love is diluted in our culture. You know, think about it. I say I love pizza, I love my dog, and I love my wife. One word for love, you know, one, you know. But I didn't really say I love my dog. But anyways, so when we talk about love, when we see that word love in Scripture, and you've heard Pastor Lee say, there's at least four different forms of love that when the writers were writing, when they used love, the word love to them wasn't, when they put it in there, it was for a purpose. So I just kind of want to bring out some of this old language as we get started. But only faith working through love. So that word working in Greek is, and I'm not a Greek scholar, I just have a Strong's. Okay? Anybody can look up Greek, you know? If you have an Android, you can have an app, My Sword, and it's just, boom, it's right there. It's very easy to look up. But working in Greek is energio, to be at work in, to produce. So that word faith, to produce. How many of you guys want your faith to produce? It's supposed to. But a lot of times it doesn't because we have our faith in the wrong areas. Okay? So faith working, energio, to be at work in, to produce. And that word love is agape. Now listen to the original language, the definition of love. The active love of God for his son and his people, and the active love his people are to have for God, each other, and even enemies. It's God's kind of love. So faith produces through God's love, not a human love. And the Bible bears that out. There is a human love. That's not wrong. It's not bad. But in this sense, how many of you guys, and we're going to talk about faith working through love in relationship with others. We're going to talk about that. If our faith for others is working through a human love, how effective are we going to be? Not very, you know. So there's two areas that I want to talk about. The first area I'm talking about is faith working through love in relationship with God. In relationship with God. Remember what I said, working to produce, to be at work. And that word agape is God's kind of love. God, I love that active kind of love. God's love is active. And it's not based on your performance. I'm so thankful that even when I trip up and fall flat on my face, his love doesn't change for me. God does not love some future version of you more than he loves you right now. He's not up in heaven like, man, if they could just change and allow me to work in their life, then I love them more. That's not God. You can't get more love by God, and you can't get love less by God. There's nothing you can do. Your love is secure. That impacts our faith. When you are secure, remember, faith working through love. Whose love? God's love. See, people, we talk about the love of God here. It's like, well, can't we just move on? Well, the Bible calls the love of God the deep things. Because until we can really get a revelation and know how much God loves us, that's key. That's key. That will revolutionize our lives. The more and more we just grow in the knowledge and be secure in how much He loves us. But faith worketh through love. So towards, now we all know that God loves us, and there's some scriptures. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, He gave. Who? So Jesus is a representation of God's love. So if you ever question if God loves you, Jesus, the cross, settled that. He sent Him because He loved. Okay? Then we have 1 John 4, 4:10, that we love God because He first loved us. That's huge. And it really, this whole thing is about relationship. But if we think we have to love to experience, like we have to love Him perfectly to experience Him, we're going to get tired and burnt out. Where does most of the burnout happen amongst Christians? It's in this area. It's not in doing. It's in this area. Because if you are trying to get loved by God, you're going to get worn out. Because you, me, will never be perfect. That's why we needed a perfect Savior. That's done. Faith worketh through love. Faith worketh through His love. So many people came and asked, just help us build faith. And what did He do? He always pointed them back to Him. See, sometimes we take faith and we point ourselves back to our works. Well, am I reading enough? Am I believing enough? When Jesus bared out, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll speak to mountains and they'll move. But we think we have to have this. No, He already gave us the measure. Listen, we're not trying to get healed. We are healed. Amen. This will revolutionize faith. This will revolutionize your faith walk. When you stop trying to get from God and use your faith to appropriate in your life what He already gave you. You're not trying to get healed. You are. You are. Is it a migraine? You're not trying to use your faith to get more healed. You are. You are. Everyone say, I am. 1 Peter 2:24 bears this out. For by His stripes you were healed. Were. That was written by the Spirit of God on purpose. We're not trying to get healed, we are. I already said, we're not trying to get more anointed, we are. This is huge. So many people want to use their faith to get. And that's not what it's about. It's about learning what He's already done for you and putting your faith in that. And this appropriates the exact thing you want to see in your life. Because when you're trying to believe, when you're trying to earn, listen, He's a perfect, holy God. How could we ever earn something from God? We never could. It's impossible. But a lot of people, they base their lives on earning. Well, I have to get up and spend an hour with God in prayer, and then an hour in reading. Now, getting in this and talking with God will change our lives. They are important. But His love is not based on you doing. His love for you is based on what Jesus did. You're not trying to get blessed by God. You already are. Ephesians 1:3 says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You have been blessed. Is it a financial need that you came in with this morning? I want to encourage you. You have been blessed. That need is done. That need is met. This is where we need to have our faith in what Jesus already did. Because when he said, "It is finished," I believe he meant it for me and for you. What's that thing in your life? In God's eyes, it's finished. Those words carry across time. Is it healing? It is finished. Is it a financial need? It is finished. This is amazing. Because when we're trying to earn, we're not in a state of rest. We're not in a state of peace. And when we're trying to earn, it gets us focused on us. And what happens when we do that? I've messed up again. I got to start over. Anybody ever been there? Come on. I've been there. You guys more spiritual? You are not trying to get blessed. You are best blessed. Ephesians 1:3 bears that out. Be at rest this morning. Be at peace. Start putting your faith in what he already did. And stop putting your faith in trying to get. You'll be more at rest. You'll be more at peace. You really will be. Listen, his answer is already yes. Did you hear that? His answer is already yes. 2 Corinthians 1:20. And Chad said this morning. All the promises of God are yes and
amen.
Now, I love the ESV version that all the promises of God find their yes in Christ. Find their yes. Find their yes. What is your problem? There's a promise for it, and God already said yes. Before the need even popped up in your life or the issue, God's answer was yes. All the promises of God find their yes. Therefore, I don't have to question, well, is God really going to do this for me? No, he already said yes. He already said yes. That's why I can say you're not trying to get healed, you are. You're not trying to get blessed, you are. Why? Because the promises of God have already found their yes in him. That's massive. That's huge. What if we were to live this way? I mean, honestly. You and me. What if we were to live this way? To really believe, okay, it's done. Every need that pops up, we can look at it and go, it's already done. We'd be more at peace. We really would be. You know, the other day we were eating dinner and we had, or what do you mean it was breakfast, I remember, but we had bacon. Okay, Jonathan is such a boy, he loves bacon and sausage and all that. And it was cut up, but he actually took a bite and he started choking. I mean, to the point where he's in his seat and he was like, and he moved trying to get out of the seat. Now, I believe that that's a promised child because God has already done so much in him. People have tried to speak into his life and say he's going to be this way in the hospital, and God changed everything. God changed the story.
Yes. Right.
But here's this promised child. And it was like, I didn't panic. I just took his arm, moved him, went back to eating. And honestly, I'm not saying that to lift me up, but if you haven't heard Andrew Womack's series, you already got it. You need to. He's been talking about that on TV and on his podcast. And it was like, no, God has protected this child. I've spoken that. This child is safe. This child will grow up to love God And I've spoken those things over him. So what would how could a piece of bacon change that? And it was like 2 days later, I was driving. I was like, oh my gosh. And it actually hit me what happened. But what if we were to use the faith that God already gave us and just started to believe whatever is it wisdom? Grace makes you wise.
Yes.
It's one of our sayings around here. Jesus, and Paul talked about how Jesus is our wisdom. We're not trying to get wisdom, we have it. This is massive. You're not trying to get more of God. You have all of God that you need. And 2 Corinthians, Colossians chapter 2, 9 through 10 states this. And there's other verses. It said, all the fullness of the God had dwelled in Jesus. And now we are filled in him. You're not trying to get more of God. Most believers don't live this way. I didn't for years with my own background of being raised Catholic. But well, no, I gotta earn this. And I spent the first number of years of my Christian journey, of my walk with Jesus, like, man, this thing is tiring. I love him. I know he loves, and I'm experienced change, but whew. But when I came under the revelation of his grace and his love, and that it is finished, he meant it. Peace. Rest. I love that. The fullness of the Godhead dwelled in him. And now he says, you are filled. What if we were to stop trying to get and just thank you, Lord? That's what I did with Jonathan. And people look at my wife and like, we're these amazing faith people. Like, no, I just, this says it. And when I walk into a hospital and they're all telling you, are you ready, sir? He's going to be slow. He's going to have some mental issues. Are you prepared, sir? Are you ready? Because you're gonna have to get tutors. You better get yourself, he's not talking to me, you better get yourself ready, sir. And then our agency is coming and they're like, hey, you know, if his birth mom doesn't wake up and sign these papers, DES is here right now prepared to take him away. Now, they're in the building and they're ready. Will you take him as a foster child? And we're getting thrown all this. I'm just like, whoa. And there's risk in doing that because we could have had him for 5 months because it takes like 6 months for courts and the adoption process and all that kind of stuff. We could have had him for 5.5 months and someone step up and go, I want him back. And we would have had to.
Yeah.
I didn't. You want to know what my wife and I did? Thank you, God, you love that little baby. Thank you, God, that you are the healer. You've already healed him. I thank you that you are doing your work here. And I speak to his birth mom's body and I said, be healed and wake up in Jesus' name. Amen. And then we went and got food. We didn't stress out. I'm not saying this to lift me up. I'm saying when we flip the switch and understand faith worketh through love. Faith works by his love. Out of his love, you'll have your faith will, because you get your eyes off you, get your eyes off on him.
Amen.
And it's amazing. So faith works by love in our relationship with God. I believe with all my heart, God is meant to be enjoyed. It is not a bummer to follow Jesus. He is not the cosmic killjoy. He's not. I work in youth ministry, and I'm a teacher at a Christian school. There are kids that, well, I don't want to go all over here because, well, it's going to be boring. it's not. The most exciting journey you could ever do is be following and be walking with Jesus. It's exciting. Faith works by love. This is an amazing, amazing deal. But a lot of people don't live this way. Well, I have to pray more. Oh, I'm not seeing God doing it, so there must be something wrong with me. And we get so introspective that we can't even see His love in the moment. Because we're so consumed with us. What if we were to live this way? Takes all the pressure off. See, I know, like, religion and some churches, they've complicated the gospel, but the gospel's not complicated. Even Paul wrote to one of the churches, I'm concerned you're leaving the simplicity of the gospel. Simple. I love you. I came and died for you. Not just so you can go to heaven, but so I could live with you. I believe this is meant to, the cross. We look at the cross, well, that was for sin. Actually, it was for a relationship. Yes. Now, sin might have been the bearer to the relationship, but God's heart behind the cross was, I want to be daddy. I want to love you and treat you like a father, like a daddy. That's amazing. And we can just believe. And it's amazing how it's like you stay at rest in peace. Something pops up, you're like, huh, thank you, God. You've already handled that. And you walk on. Faith works by love, by His love. Let's talk about faith works by love in relationship to others. Okay? I believe that one of the most biggest hindrances to the body of Christ is critical Christians. I really do. Critical Christians. Ones that will act one way in front of somebody and then go and gossip. Ones that are always picking out the negative. Well, you need to work on this. You need to work on that. Because people already come in out there, they come in here expecting to be criticized. They're already thinking that way. We could use a very small example. A young person walks in here with a hat and tattoos. Oh, he has to take off his hat. He needs to respect church. Then your version of church is not biblical, because God looks at you as the church, not the building. Come on. Come on. And you heard Chad, we got a lot of amazing things going on over there. They're coming. And they don't need to be criticized. They need to be loved. Who wants to be treated like... See, a lot of Christians, they try to treat people like projects. Who wants to be treated like a project? But everybody wants to be loved. Everybody desires love. Everybody. I've seen this in my wife and I have talked about it. When I first got saved and we first got together, we were critical of family. Can I just be honest? We were critical. Well, they need to change and they shouldn't be doing this. And and we saw God do things in our family. But you know what? When I started relating to them with this love that I had experienced, a love that was not conditional, a love that was not based on my performance, things changed. We saw God do more in our family. In fact, we had somebody call recently, well, like over a year ago, maybe two ago, you two were just easier to be around. It's like, whoa, why was that? Because really being critical comes from a place of pride. Ouch. I was there. I was there. And we had this person, you're just easier to see. A critical Christian is not easy to be around. But one that loves with the love of God will draw. You won't have to go looking for ministry. It will find you. And we also started to see God do a lot in our family when we stopped being critical of their mistakes and started to love as God loved. We get calls out of the blue. Hey, man, it was amazing. We all know John 13, 34, and 35. Love others as I have loved you. And it is by your love for one another they will know you're my disciples. If you're not loving, it's confusing. Because 1 John 4:8 says God is love. So if you want to represent Jesus, love. The way he loves. The way that he loves. And this is powerful stuff. I believe we would see more happening in our families if we backed away from being critical and seeing all the negative and just loved as God loved. I've seen it in my own family. There's a young girl that's been coming to U Church for maybe a little over two years. The very first words that she told me, because she came, I went to introduce myself, you know, hey, I'm Pastor Ryan, and before I didn't even get to shake her hand, she goes, I'm an atheist. I don't believe any of this stuff. I'm here only for my boyfriend. Now, see, most people would have tried to convert her. It's not my job to convert her. It's my job to introduce her to the one that loves her. That is my job. Not as a pastor, but as a Christian. I'm not trying to change people. That's his job. I just introduce people to the one that loves them unconditionally. Very first words, I'm an atheist. I don't believe any of this. I'm here for him. Okay. Well, I'm so glad you're here. We enjoyed having you. Big smile. It's like, this, I wasn't expecting that. This pastor's weird. You know? And we've had kids come in like, this is a church. We got the smoke machine going, the lights going, praise and worship. We're jumping around, getting crazy for Jesus. They go, what is this? It's Jesus. See, we put Christianity in a box. Go read your gospel. He was so anti-culture, man. It was hilarious. He made the religious people furious. I love reading about Jesus. But then also in her journey, it went to, well, I'm an agnostic now. I kind of believe that there's something out there. I'm not sure what it is, but I believe something. That's awesome, man. I'm glad you're searching, man. We love having you. And she would get so like, I'm so sorry. I'm late. It's okay. We're just glad you're here. But I'm so sorry. It's okay. We love you. We're glad that you're here. A little bit later. Well, I believe, but I'm having trouble believing. Okay. Talk to God about that. God's not afraid of your doubts. I said, go. Talk to God about that. Say, God, I'm having trouble believing. I've been coming to church regularly for a few years now. I'm believing this. Go and talk to him about that. And then like two weeks ago, she grabs me after a service and she goes, I just got to talk to you. I think, okay, cool. I know what this is going to be. I'm going to have to encourage her. And she goes, I just have to tell you what happened to me over the weekend. I was like, oh, okay, cool. Okay. Well, I started having a pain right here and I was throwing up blood. She goes, I was freaked out. I was scared. But see, I had been on a... God had us on a series, How to Hear the Voice of God. And in there, I talked about John 10 that said, my sheep hear my voice. You do hear his voice. He speaks, you can hear it. And she goes, I started to freak out, but I talked to God. Atheists agnostic. I don't believe. I'm talking to God. And then she goes, well, so we went to the hospital and they could find nothing wrong with me. They even tested the blood from my mouth to see if it was like a contagion or something, like it was really, really, really bad, and they found nothing. She goes, it's amazing. I know it's God. That didn't come from Pastor Ryan. That came from me just being a Christian. I'm going to love you. Even though I know you're out there doing sin, I'm going to love you anyway. Atheist, agnostic, I believe, but I'm having trouble, to believing God on her own. She never Facebooked me or my wife. She never talked to any of us. She simply talked to God about her own issue and went to the hospital. They couldn't find anything. It's amazing. But it happened because I loved. It didn't happen because I tried to preach at her. I tried to give her a word. I'm not saying there's not time for that. If God puts something on your heart, please follow that. What I'm saying is that we can make our priority to love the way that He loves. What would our jobs be like? What would our families be like? How would we change? See, as Christians, I believe we're supposed to change the atmosphere. How do we change the atmosphere? Love. Love. You go in and just love people. Why? Because He loves you. And how does He love you? Unconditionally, whether you're doing right or doing wrong. I believe this has changed my life. I've seen God do so many things in my life, not trying to get, but simply believe that He already did it. We've been on a series with the youth called Own It. Because it freaks youth pastors out. I see it as a challenge. They go off to college, and like 80 to 90% of them end up leaving their Christian faith. Even ones that grew up in church. I want them to own it. I don't want it to be just mommy and daddy's Jesus. I don't want it to be grandpappy's Jesus. I don't want it to be my Jesus. I want it to be their Jesus. Because I've seen I see both sides, kids that were raised in church and kids that weren't raised in church. And I've seen testimonies and awesome things with both. And I started to really go, okay, man, why is it that I see some Christian teens that will almost give every excuse not to come to church? And I see some Christian teens that their parents say, you are not going, and they sneak out the window to get here. Why? Why? And I'm challenging my own self as that. I don't want my son. I don't want my niece that's in my house. I don't want my future kids. I don't want them just relying on daddy. I want them to be secure in their relationship with God. We got to own this thing. We do. He's your Jesus. He's your Jesus. You can, and that's what it's all about, you having a personal relationship with Him. But I live in the teen world, and people love to bash this generation. I believe this generation, there is no generation in history that has such a call on their lives as this one. Because never a generation in history has been so attacked. I don't do what I do so I can have a pastor title. I do what I do because I believe there is a call of God on this generation. But when I see that, why is there some? Why? Why is there some that are raised in church? Even going to Christian school, that's my world. That's where I'm a teacher at a Christian school. And why is, and not necessarily when they're younger, but when they get older, I can hear the conversations in the hallway. When they think nobody is around. Why is it some of them, even us Christians, been in church for years, we use the excuse, I'm just tired. It was a busy week. Yet there's some that come in contact with a God and they're like, I don't care what my parents say, I'm sneaking out the window, I'm getting to church. And we've had those. Parents want, they do not want them coming here on a Wednesday night, but they sneak out. I believe the love of God will put a passion in all of us. You want to fan the flame, as Paul talked about? Live here with his love. See, passion isn't taught, it's caught. Passion isn't taught, it's caught. That's why when they come to youth, I love them the way that they are, where they're at. I get up in the front and I'm jumping around with them. I'm praising. We've got the ball going and smoke's going. It's dark. I could show you videos. It would make some religious people mad. But when you see 15, 20 youth jumping and praising the Lord, it's amazing. It's amazing. I love it. But what if we were to let our faith work by his love? We stop trying to do and we just focused on who he's made us and what he's done for us. I believe that would revolutionize our lives. I really, really, really do. You got some family that's not serving God? Love them. Love them. Don't be critical. Because I've been there and it doesn't work. Man, when I first got saved, I loved Jesus, but I was a little, whoo. You know, I had no problem telling them what they were doing wrong. You know, it's interesting, you know, Jesus said, before you worry about the speck in somebody else's eye, worry about the log in your own. What causes specks? Splinters? Hogs. Ouch. Where did he get a splinter from? From a log. What was his message there? I love, and a lot of times we can be so critical because we get involved in somebody else's race and we weren't called to do that. And I love Peter because we can all identify with Peter. I mean, he let stuff fly and Jesus be like, I love you, bro. Come on now. But you can read in John where Jesus is talking with Peter and he's telling Peter, like, hey, Peter, you're going to do this for me. It's going to be amazing. Oh, and you're going to die for me. And you know Peter's his response is, like many people, he looks over and he sees John. But what about him? Read it. It's in there. What about him? And Jesus goes, what business of that is yours? If I want him to live forever, what is the exact opposite of being martyred? Living forever. What's he saying, Peter? You worry about you. Yes. Worry about your race. I got a lot of kids I say to that at school. Well, this, and my young ones, they did this. Worry about you. But, worry about you. Run our race. Run it through his love. We're not trying to get victory. We have victory. Let that sink in. You are not trying to get victory over any addiction, over any area of your life. You have it. Why? Because He is the victory. He is your victory. Man, this is powerful. We got to run our race. I believe a lot of people are burnt out in their Christian walk because they're trying to get, instead of just resting in what they already have. What if we were that? And it causes rest. It truly does cause rest. When something pops up, it's like, God took care of that already. Thank you, God. Or when something pops up in your body, thank you, God, that you have healed me, that it was done. I trust you. And you move on. That's real faith. That's real faith. Faith worketh by love. But what love? His love. How He loves you. How He loves me. I believe we'd see more miracles in our families. I believe we see more miracles in our jobs. I love Jesus. I love when you read gospels, people would get mad. But you're hanging out with these people. They're sinners. They're prostitutes. Who needs Jesus? It was them. Now, I'm not saying there's not areas as a Christian we should not go in. You have a problem with alcohol, don't go try to witness in a bar. Come on. Let's be wise, but let's hang out with the people that need it. And then I love how when you see him hanging out, he was like eating food, had his feet kicked back, and he's just enjoying them. They're enjoying him, and it's like, it's so opposite of what we think we have to do. Even in the story of Zacchaeus, who was a really bad dude, he spends some time with Jesus not preaching at him, just having lunch. In fact, scripture says he's reclining at the table and they're just loving it. They're just talking, and he goes, Zacchaeus stands up and goes, I'm going to pay back everybody twofold. And Jesus is like, awesome. But he didn't. What made him do that? Love. The love that he experienced at that moment. Nobody wants to be treated like a project. Nobody. But everybody wants to be loved. See, I don't believe that God treats you or me as a project. I don't. I don't believe God's like, man, I got to change him. No, God's like, man, I want to love him. See, it makes it easy when somebody isn't living, quote unquote, right. They're doing things that are hurting him. When you start to see how God loves you personally, see, it's got to be a personal thing. That's why I've been on this series with the youth. Own it. You need to own this Jesus. You need to experience his love for you. Because I know once you do that, you can't help but be changed. When you experience the love of our Father, you cannot help but be changed. I go back to that girl on her journey. I was atheist, and now I'm agnostic. And now I kind of believe, but I'm kind of having hard trouble believing. Then I believe God on my own for healing. I go back to my own personal life. I got family now that will actually want to talk to us because we're just loving. We're just loving. This town would be changed if we would just love. Stop trying to change it and just be the changing agent that God created us to be by just loving. I get it. I hate Safeway just as much as you do. That is a place that tests my Christianity when I pull up in the parking lot. And then they had the nerve to take away self-checkout. So you don't have a choice but to wait. And it seems like they always put the slowest cashiers in the one that's supposed to be the fastest. And you're there in the morning picking up donuts for church, and they're just talking, having a drink, and beep, beep. Thank you, Lord. But what if we were to use that moment, and or you can tell that the cashier is having a bad day, and she's rude. What if we were to not, God, do you have a word? I'm not saying that's wrong. God, first, faith worketh by love, just love. Intimacy with God will breed ministry. When you're being intimate with God here and you're experiencing His love and you're loving Him back, and it's like, it's this, man, you can't help but faith worketh by love. Faith worketh by love. I get it. We all have family members that test our buttons. I get it. But see, here's the thing. I've told my U team, because at first it was, well, this person is so annoying. I said, whoa. If we're saying I'm annoyed, that's not the love of God. God is never annoyed with anybody. And I'm so thankful. And it's because that let's just love. Let's make that our top priority. Let's just love. See, you can't get annoyed when you're just loving with His love. It's really hard to. People can test you, and you'll just be like, I love you. You can, I love you. But they just need this, I love you. But it's really just letting this love that I experience flow out of me. It's very easy. It's very easy. It's not complicated. Faith works by love. I want to encourage you this morning. Stop trying to get and just receive. And just because of that, you may open your eyes and go, has it changed? Let's not live that way. Does He love you? Yes. Then His answer was yes to your need before you had the need. Let's rest in that. Let's rest. Faith worketh by love. Stop trying. Listen, I went to a Bible school that I'm so thankful that I went to, but it made faith a work. It really did. I struggled in faith because it was like a work. I had to do these A, B, C, D. Okay, I'm doing all that. Oh! Now I still had that foundation that was in me, but it made faith this work. And faith is not meant to be a work. What does Matthew 6:33 say? Seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Faith worketh by love. Faith works by love. Be at rest. Be at rest. I believe that should be the Christian's natural habitat, is rest and peace. I'm not saying I'm perfect in that area. I want to get better. I have my moments where I let things get to me and I stop and I go, no. God loves me. I have the strength to accomplish what He's called me to do. Whew, back into rest. Back into peace. Just close your eyes right now. Let Him talk to you. Let Him love you. Faith works by love. His love. You know, we got to get God's perspective on some stuff. We really do. We need his perspective. See, we think that someone falls into sin, that they've fallen away from God. And then we think, oh, we got to fix that person. We got to fix that person. We got to draw this out. We got to fix them. I find it very interesting that the churches that were actually falling into some sin and doing stuff, you know what Paul's words were? Do you not know who you are? Do you not remember what he did for you? But then you had the book of Galatians that we were in this morning. And it was a church that was trying and being convinced they had to go back into works, back into their performance. And Galatians 5:4 says, and I'm going to read it, and I pray that you hear this, because we need to love people. We need to have our relationship with God needs to be based on his love. But I want you to hear this. Galatians 5:4. You who would be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. What makes you fall out of grace, not God's love, is when you try to get back in your own performance, because you're not living in grace anymore. You're living based on your performance, how well you're doing. But every time there was a church or a person that was in sin, you have the church of Corinth, who they were getting drunk at first communion. And what did he do? Do you not know who you are? You're a child of God. You're loved by God. But a church that was trying to get back into works, he reminds them. And Paul also said the ministry of the law and the ministry of grace can't be mixed. It doesn't work. It's either all law or it's all grace. It's either all law or it's all grace. What are we putting our faith in? Our works, our ability, or what he did? Let us stay there. This is what this verse says. You who would attempt to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. I want to encourage you this morning. Maybe you've been trying to relate to God based on your performance and how good you are. Can I encourage you to come back into grace? Come back. It's very easy. Say, wow, okay. God, I'm going to trust what you did. You're enough. And I pray this is speaking to you, because it totally changes our relationship with God when it's based out of love. Faith works by love. And then our relationship with others needs to be faith that works through his love. This is powerful stuff. He loves you. All eyes closed. You know, if you're in here this morning, and if you could say, you know what, lately I have been trying to be right with God based on my own works, based on what I do. And I'm hearing this morning, I don't gotta live that way. I can live in a grace, in a love that overcomes all that, looks over my shortcomings, looks beyond my weaknesses, and simply loves me for who I am at this moment. But if you could say, yeah, that's me. I've been doing things my own way, even in my faith walk. Can you just raise your hand? That's anybody. It may not be. Because I've been trying to be right instead of just living as the righteousness of God that I already am. Raise your hands nice and high. God, I just thank you for the hands that you are seeing. The ones that wanted to raise their hands but didn't, their hearts are still right here and they are included. I thank you that our eyes would be on your love. I thank you that our eyes would be on your grace. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. His presence is so in here right now. Let's just enjoy. He's meant to be enjoyed. We've talked about his love, which he's very excited about, to reveal his love to you personally. You are not a failure. You're not a failure. You're not unworthy. Let that sink in. God, we choose to see ourselves the way that you see us. Thank you for your words this morning. Faith works by love in our relationship with you, in our relationship with others. Thank you, Jesus. We could have our prayer team come up front. We're gonna end with a song. And if you need prayer, I encourage you, come up. Come up. You have marital problems? Come up and pray. You guys, come up. We got some people that would love to pray with you. But I encourage you, man, stop struggling. Let today be the day that you stop struggling and say, I believe that God already accomplished it. I believe that it is done. And come up and agree with somebody. It is finished. Let it end today. Let it end. So if you can stand, everybody stand. As we sing this song, worship with us, and I encourage you, I don't care how big or how small, God cares about the little, God is concerned about the big. If it's a concern to you, it's a concern to God. Come up and get prayer. God, I thank you for the words that you have spoken. I thank you for what you did this morning. And I thank you, God. I thank you that your love is so real. I think, Holy Spirit, you remind us of that. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,
draws me to yours.